And now more great information from Michigan's retirement coach, Mike Douglas.
I'm Heather Branch. This is Mike Douglas. And we are here to talk about the things that we like to talk about.
Yeah.
Which is helping you figure out what to do with all of your hard-earned money. Now that you have made it to this point, some say you've won the game. Is that correct? Like you've made it to 60, 65, 70. You have saved $1 million. But now we want to retire and we want to make sure that that $1 million lasts the next 20, 30, maybe even 40 years for some people. That's where it gets tricky. That's where you come in, when, because we are living longer. We are, and this is great. We should be celebrating it. But the only way to celebrate it properly is if you've got the money to throw yourself the right party. So we got to make sure that the money lasts for this many decades. LifePlanWealth.com is where you can start your own conversation with Mike and his team. And we also have links posted in the show notes. You can just click there, or again, visit us at lifeplanwealth.com. Now, being Michigan's retirement coach, you obviously have some wherewithal about the weather, particularly the winter Michigan months. So we were talking about folks in your office and things that they are prioritizing, particularly in their retirement years. And you said the idea, we need to talk about snowbirding on the podcast. Yeah. That's what we want to do today. I was just doing some quick Google searching and I sent you this article and you immediately shut me down. You're like, Heather, this is not it. And I'm okay. Well, this is just the general AARP article. They were talking about some basic points. I think it's interesting because they pointed out you have to decide whether you want to rent or own, and don't make the mistake of thinking that you want to buy something in some, you know, in down in Southern Alabama, Fairhope, Alabama is the big retirement place. Don't buy something if you haven't spent any real time there. First, rent for a few weeks or months. Make sure you want to be there.
Right.
They also talked about deciding which location is going to be your primary residence. I'm assuming that's for tax purposes, how the IRS views things. You got to figure out your medical care, which is poignant. Where are you going to see your doctor? Make sure you have a doctor in this place you're going to be. Prep your northern residence for absence. That's the other thing also. Do people forget to set their current house up properly? And those things. But you were saying this is all, that's all basic stuff. And I imagine that people that have come to you, they've thought this through.
Yeah. So
since you see it every day, you have that firsthand experience of folks doing this, then what are you saying we need to think about? What do we need to know when it comes to
when I saw this list, I was like, all right, they're right. But you're right. It's basic. It's stuff that we know. Like in Michigan, you do one of two things, right? You go up north for the summer, you go down south for the winter. That's kind of the model. Mm-hmm. And no matter what, the rule's the same. Like the system, what you're going to do is the same. We set up our house. We turn off certain things. You know, deal with your mail. All the same standard vacation stuff. Yep. But really, the big one that we hear quite a bit about is, do I rent or own? And that was one of the key ones. It was one of the first ones on the list. For a lot of people, unless through the course of their life, they've really landed on, you know, we've been going to St. Pete Beach or Cocoa Beach or Arizona, wherever. They do a lot of exploring for the first several years where they say, all right, we don't necessarily know where we want to go. So we're going to try some different spots and see what turns up, see what we really fall in love with. And with the growth of Airbnb and VRBO, it's really changed people's ability to get long-term rentals, where they go down there and say, all right, well, I say long-term mean like 1 to 3 months. So now they're able to go down and say, do I want to buy a place in Lakeland, Florida, or do I want to rent a place? And if I buy a place, maybe it's cheaper per month, but I have to deal with it year round and pay property taxes and deal with storms and all that. Yeah. Otherwise, you just check in for your Airbnb or your VRBO. You're there for 2 to 3 months. You pay like $5,000-$6,000 a month, which seems expensive. But when you break it out against 30, 31 nights a month, and you're saying, well, but I don't have to pay anything. And a lot of your expenses decrease. They do shift because we always think, well, now I'm paying for two places. Well, no, you're not paying for groceries in two places. Your utilities go down. Your travel stuff disappears from Michigan and just transfers down there. So there is some balancing there. But yet, deciding whether to rent or own, I know I had one client who every time they kind of were like trying to, the phrase catch a falling knife, like he was like, all right, we're never going to buy. And then at about 67 years old, they're like, all right, Cocoa Beach, that's our spot. And because they had visited there for about 3 or 4 years, and every year during the window they went, it was so beautiful. It was so nice. And he's a golfer. And for him, it's like, if I can get out and golf in the morning and then be back home by the afternoon with my family, like it's cool. He bought a place in the very first winter. It never got above like 55 degrees for 2 months. And he was like, why are we here?
Right.
And so then they had it for 3 years and he just couldn't take it. So he sold that place. And then he's like, we're going to try Myrtle Beach. We're going to try different. So he ended up becoming a renter because the ownership part was tough. And we know a lot of people who say, well, I've got this place in Florida, but then again, storm comes through. You got to go deal with it. you have to kind of keep up on it through the year, mowing the grass, all that. So instead, a lot of people choose to rent, but there's benefits. Like we said, on the tax side, if you own a place in Florida and there's no state income tax and you can make a pivot where you're there more than half the year, that's a big savings. You know, you save 4.25% off of your income by having a Florida residence as your primary and then not doing that. The other one is as a grandparent, the Disney passes. If you can be a Florida resident, you get a significant, you can get those annual passes to Disney and it becomes way cheaper when family comes down to go with you. So it's a big move. That so those two things alone, if you do Disney a lot, which again, depends on where you go to Florida. If you're going down to the Keys, Disney's not your pull. But if you're one with young grandkids and you
some people, they're like Disney people where literally every vacation, they try to get to Disney like 6 times a year.
Yeah.
And I love it for those Disney people that are real, I love being really into something. So that's that's a good perk if you think about it.
Well, and it's, and the way it goes, especially if you're bringing kids and grandkids.
Yeah.
It's like, so we took our kids to Disney a couple of years ago and it was, we got park hopper passes and there were a fast pass. It was like $190 per person per day.
Per person per day.
And there's 6 of us. So basically you're at $1,200 a day for us to go to Disney.
Just to get into the park, just to walk through the gate.
Oh, yeah. And at that point, I looked at it. I mean, because of financial side, I was engaged and I was like, all right, what if I bought a place down there and we went 3 times a year?
Yeah.
And every time you go to Disney for 5 days. Uh-huh. All right. Well, that's $1,200 a day times 5 days. That's going to be, you know, $6,000 in Disney tickets every time we go down there. If we bought a place and I could rent it through the year and go down and our annual passes per person were like $5,000. Like I was running the numbers to see what at some point we come back. And we thought about it. We looked pretty hard. We're just too, our kids are too young to be able to commit that much time. And if it wasn't for sports, I should say that. It's not that they're too young because we, you know, we homeschool, we can do that. But it's more about their sports schedule doesn't allow us to shoot down there that often. And I never thought I'd be one of those people who says, well, my kid's sports dictates what I do or don't do. But they dictate what we do or don't do. Right. And so
people that are watching this podcast that are here for Retirement Insight that are flashing back to where you this, they're just laughing. You're adorable thinking that anything about your kids aren't going to dictate your life, you 40-year-old man.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's so many things my clients have talked to us about. Where I was like, it's so funny because there's this great relationship as a financial advisor with your client and that you get to, it's not a always educational one way. It's often educational two ways. Right. Like I'm dealing with someone who's got 20, 25 years life experience on me, but yet then I know finances. Mm-hmm. And so that partnership there is wonderful because I go through and I'm saying, all right, well, here's what we're doing with the stock market. Here's how we're doing your risk. Here's how we're doing your portfolio and your fee structures and all that stuff and really taking care of that side. And they say, great, you have 3 boys and 1 girl. Your grocery bill's about to get out of control. And they're sharing these life things. Huh. And so many times I sit with them and I say, you know, you mentioned this 2 years ago and I didn't think it was true. And groceries are pretty tough for the Douglases right now. I mean, with all
groceries are tough for everybody. They're exceptionally tough for people with four children.
Well, and I joke, but it's the reality is that right about the time groceries had a hyperinflation, it's the same time my 3 boys all started eating adult sized meals at restaurants. And it's been brutal. I mean, Culver's is like $70 for us. Chick-fil-A is like $85. It's brutal. But that's our life. And so it's great to have this exchange of ideas back and forth. Because again, a financial advising relationship, it's not transactional. At least it shouldn't be. Some people do treat it that way. But the reality is it's your life. It's your life savings. It's everything you've been saving for and living for. So one day you could accomplish some dreams and goals. It shouldn't be transactional. It should be this understanding of who you are, understanding of where you've been, what your story is from the past and how you want to go forward. And
perhaps
if snowbirding is part of what it is.
Transactional, though, sorry to interrupt you. Perhaps when you say transactional, though, for somebody who had an advisor in their working years, it was a bit more transactional, was about stocks and growth. When you are working with a retirement planner, financial planning for retirement, there's so much more involved. Lifestyle planning, medical planning, estate planning, you know, legacy planning within and of itself is a very personal subject matter.
Well, yeah, when you're working, your business, your employer handles your insurance. You're not really so much worried about estate planning because you're just trying to get by and trying to get saved and try to pay down your house and do all the little things you have to do. All the things that you become the responsible person for in retirement, you weren't responsible for along the way. Mm-hmm. So when it came to when you got a paycheck, someone else withheld taxes, someone else provided you insurance, someone else provided you income, someone else provided you a 401k opportunity to invest and they're matching into it and giving it back to you. Someone else did all these things. And then now as you go into retirement, and oftentimes they'll even offer you some legal services towards estate planning.
A lot of benefits, do you?
And then now you go into retirement and there's no more someone else. It's on you. You're the one who has to build a portfolio. You're the one who has to provide yourself income. You're the one who has to make sure you have the right types of insurance and long-term care insurance and estate plan, all those things. And the taxes, yeah. I go pull from my IRA. And if I don't withhold taxes, the government gets really mad about that. And so I have to make sure that's planned for. And so rather than being the one who is the recipient, you're the one who has to become the quarterback of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And that's the part they don't really tell you. Because what we talk about at retirement planning is when you're retired, you're supposed to be focusing on snowboarding. You're supposed to be focusing on the Disney trips or the golf trips or the fun, because that's what you've been waiting this whole time for. Mm-hmm. Problem is, you retire and all of a sudden you go to work full time as your own platform advisor. Like, you are in charge of all these things. And we don't think about how they relate to each other, but how I take money out of here affects whether or not they tax my Social Security. How I invest over here determines the longevity of my money. Like, all these things relate. And at the end of the day, what do we want? I just wanted to go snowboarding for 3 months. I just wanted one of my clients, when she first came on, I said, what is your goal? Like, what do you want life to look like in retirement? She said, I just want 6 weeks somewhere. I said, do you care where? She goes, no, somewhere south. That's it. And that's it. She never talked about rates of return. She never talked about fee structures or do I buy mutual funds versus ETFs? It was, we're finally retiring. We just don't want to be in the snow during the worst parts of Michigan's weather.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. And so having a plan that works through all those things and having someone take the lifting off you so you're not the one responsible for all of it, but having the same concept. Why? I just want to do the things we want to do. I finally have the freedom. I have the flexibility of schedule. We have the money. We have all these things we want to accomplish that I can't accomplish it behind a computer screen figuring it all out. So instead, we have someone who goes through and figures it out. So that's what, you know, a lot of people, when we go to our website, lifeplanwealth.com, there's a button that says start your retirement roadmap today. By clicking on that, you start helping us understand your story. We sit down and hear where you've come from, where you want to go, and figure out how to help you write the rest of the story. But the rest of the story is written with you as the one retiring, not you as the one going back to work into a new career of being a financial advisor for most people. So that's the joy of planning out these things. But yeah, when it comes to planning for snowboarding, all these different things, everybody's different. Most people don't want to be around Michigan during the bad times, and figuring out how to make it happen the best way for your family, that's what the conversations are about. So it's on our website, lifeplanwealth.com. Start your retirement roadmap today. And we sit down and we make sure that those things happen.
Helping you make your snowbird dreams come true and your Disney grandkid dreams come true. Isn't that like a Disney thing?
Don't sing, because then we have to pay copyrights. Don't sing any of the songs.
You're right. Abort, abort.
Right, right. Don't sing it, because I know you're this close to singing some Disney theme
so
songs. Nope, don't do
actually,
it.
Actually, what's the More You Know one? That's actually what was in my head, but that's not a Disney one. So
it's knowledge is power.
Snowbirding, if it is a goal of yours, or just having to avoid digging your car out of snow in Michigan weather, that can be a very little yet big thing that people want to not have to worry about in their retirement. So getting to work on a plan is what Mike and his entire team are here to help you do. Lifeplanwealth.com is where you can start the conversation. We also have links posted in the show notes, so you can just click there, or again, find us anytime at lifeplanwealth.com.
Thanks for listening to Michigan's Retirement Coach with Mike Douglas. To learn more, visit lifeplanwealth.com. Michael Douglas is an investment advisor representative of Stewards Wealth Planning, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Financial professionals are not licensed in all 50 states. To find out if Michael Douglas is licensed in your state, please call 517-323-7526. Stewards Wealth Planning, LLC is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency and does not provide legal or tax advice. Annuity guarantees rely solely on the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance and annuity products offered through Michael B. Douglas, NPN number 965-0939.